This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right, guess what? As you heard, Leanne's back.
I'm back.
She's back at least for a few episodes. I hope she's back, but for a lot. But I know she's busy.
Yes, but I've missed everybody.
And if you hear that weird noise, that's Juanita.
It's Juanita. She's back too.
She's a Two Blonde Sleuths mascot. She's got a little bit of noise that she makes with her trachea.
Snorty.
Because she's old. She's getting old, girl. Anyway, so if you hear, that's her. She's recording with us today. I'm going to tell a story for episode 32. Leanne, that I don't think you know about. And I found this story. Hulu just brought out a special about dorm murders or people in college. And I think that it was weird because it's right around the same time as the Idaho murders, which are super...
That is a weird coincidence.
...popular. I know that's in the news right now about the four kids that were slain. And everybody's, you need to do that case. But I like to wait till all the facts unfold, everything happens before I do a case, because there's just so much happening in real time that we'll wait and do that one later. This one I'm going to tell you about is the case of Andrea Del Vesco. Have you heard this one?
Nope.
Okay. The year was 2015. Andy and her friends, that's what her friends called her, Andy, was a 21-year-old college student at this time, 2015, at UCLA. Andy was from Austin, Texas, where she grew up with her mom, dad, brother, and younger sister, Alexis. Her mother said that in high school, Andy loved reading, going to museums, and wanted to study psychology when she went to college. Her mom thought that would be perfect for her. She'll be a natural at it. They lived in the Westwood area. This was in, I guess when you go to UCLA, this is an area where college students live in. She did not live in Westwood.
Yeah.
She didn't live in a dorm, even though I found this story off the Hulu dorm murders. They were just around the college area. She was a senior when this happened to her. So they didn't live in the dorms anymore. Like here in Auburn, you live in the dorms the first year. And then after that, you don't. You live right around campus usually. It was a nice area where students live. They said they felt safe. Westwood, it's mainly all college students. It's not any part of California that has a lot of crime or anything like that. But anyway, we'll go back. So in 2012, that's when Andy started at UCLA. She joined a sorority, Phi Beta Phi. She was thriving, having a great time in college. They had a lot of parties, of course, and sorority swaps. And she was just the life of the party. And she would always dress crazy and was just a lot of fun. She even got a rescue dog while she was in college that she named Shea Panda. Yeah, that's all cute. They just said she was just quirky, yeah, wild, and pretty girl. She just had a lot of friends, and she was also, besides fun and wild, she liked to help people. They said they thought after college that she would join the Peace Corps, that she was just that type of girl. She's very helpful. She was adopted shelter dog. Just, she was fearless as well. She was up for anything and everything. So in September of 2015, Andy was just starting her senior year of college. She moved into what they called a senior apartment with some other girls from her sorority. So the night before school was starting back, September 20th, it was a Sunday night, and her sorority sisters, were getting ready for the sorority rush, which started the next day. And they were getting ready for the skits and things that they had to do for that. So one of Andy's roommates tells how she went to bed that night, and she would sleep with two fans on because she said it was noisy outside. So the next morning, it was like 7 a.m. in the morning, she wakes up with the fire alarm going off in their apartment and another roommate banging on her door saying there's a fire in Andy's room. They open her door, Andy's room, and start yelling her name. Her roommate said she was hoping she was not in there, but she knew she was. So they all went outside, and she said they all evacuated the house, and Andy wasn't there. Obviously, she wasn't outside of the house, and she was just thinking, is there a way I could go back in there and save her? And she couldn't. I mean, the fire was too much, mm-hmm, and too much smoke. It was super sad. Of course, the police and the fire trucks are there, and once the fire was out, they could see that there was a young girl laying on her bed, and there was this is really bad. Her dog was also in the room. Yeah. And he was alive. Yeah. But he had labored breathing, and he didn't look good at all. So they rush him, though, to the animal vet hospital, and they figure this is Andy, but she's pretty badly burned,
yeah,
as well as the dog is, of course. And then they soon figure out for sure that this is... So someone had lit...
What about the dog?
I'll get to it.
Okay, sorry.
No, I mean, I wanted to know, too, and I was waiting for that.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I know, it is. I will get to it, but okay. That part was bad. But so they had figured out that someone had lit the inside of a trash can and put it on Andy's bed. Yeah. And that was where the trash had started. It was definitely arson. It was definitely started by someone. That's all they know.
Was on the bed, right?
She was on the bed and she was badly burned. So this is all they know. They've got to perform an autopsy on the body. They don't know anything except for how the fire was probably started, which when they let this trash can on fire and put it on the bed. So everyone at UCLA, of course, and the community are devastated. They don't know anybody that would want to hurt Andy. They cannot figure out how this all happened.
No boyfriend at the time.
So, and no ex-boyfriend. Once the autopsy's done, they'll know a little bit more, right? Listen to this. So they realize, and this all happens in a span of just this all investigation and wraps up in the span of just a few days or a couple of days, not long. Okay. They realize very quickly that there was a 911 call made from Andy's apartment complex by one of her sorority sisters that lived above her. Okay. Not in the apartment with her, but in the apartment above her, mm-hmm. right? The night that Andy died, the girl had gotten up early to take her boyfriend to the airport. Say, I think it was like 4:30, something like that. So she takes him to the airport. She comes back to her room. She said it was around 6 a.m. at this time, and she wants to get an hour or so of sleep before she has to report to work. She said that she heard a girl screaming and a dog barking, and the dog was going crazy. I mean, she does what she should have done. And she also knew it was Andy's apartment because she knew Andy. That was one of her sorority sisters. So she tries to call Andy's phone over and over again, and there's no answer. Then she's calling 911 because this isn't normal. She said that Panda Shay, or Shay Panda, never barked, and the dog was going nuts. And she heard a girl screaming. And even on the 911 call, they played it. On the episode, you can hear Andy screaming at the fire.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And she said she's still screaming. Guess what? So the police come. They don't see any forced entry to any of the apartments or Andy's apartment.
They go to her door?
No. They don't go to her door. They don't knock anything. They just get flashlights. They look because it's still dark.
Yeah.
It's 6 something in the morning at this time. I read this somewhere. Wasn't on the documentary. It was 2 seasoned officers and 2 officers in training at this time. So they come, they look around, they don't see anything suspicious. They don't see any forced entry of any of the apartments. So I guess they don't want to wake anybody. I don't know. It's like the dumbest thing ever.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could hear the screaming on the 911
call. Yeah, just knock on the door. They'll go back to sleep.
Exactly. They will go back to sleep. Make sure everything's okay. So yeah, they leave.
So they think that the only reason somebody would be screaming inside their apartment is somebody broke in? Like somebody they know wouldn't do that to them?
And they didn't see any sign of forced entry.
That's insane.
And these apartments had balconies, okay? Mm-hmm. So remember that. Because Sarah, of course, her neighbor, she just sat up, freaked out. And she talks to her roommate and to her roommates, it's probably fine. Just if the police came, you called the police, they checked everything out, it's probably fine. Don't worry about
everything.
They didn't knock on any doors. Mm-hmm. They just looked around, didn't see like any broken in doors or anything like that. Nobody's been broken into. This is just maybe a girl's just screaming and her dog's going crazy. Doesn't make any sense at all. Sarah, the girl and they interviewed her on the documentary, she's just doesn't know what to do. Obviously, she's done everything she thinks she can do. She can't get Andy on the phone. So all of a sudden, she hears a noise and she runs out to her balcony and she sees that Andy's room is on fire. Okay. And she sees a man run out with a red blanket covering his head. She said she just doesn't know what she was thinking and she runs after
him. Oh, gosh.
After the guy. Yeah.
Sarah?
Yes. Sarah runs after the guy. And she sees, and of course, she can't catch him. He drives off in a red car, and it had Greek letters on it, Lambda Chi Alpha Fraternity, in the back windshield of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she does see that. So they interviewed some of the fraternities around there, and they...
Hopefully Lambda Chi.
Yeah, I know. And they nobody could figure and recognize the car. They don't think anyone that knew her could have done this to her, like what you had asked before, mm-hmm. that she didn't have a boyfriend. She didn't have an ex-boyfriend. One of her friends said, I thought maybe was it a Tinder date gone wrong? Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's not anybody that is in her life that to be suspicious of.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a guy. News of Andy's death starts to spread. Her parents get word, but the police tell them they know something has happened, but they're in Austin, Texas. That's where Andy's from. I think I said that. I know. So they get on the plane and they fly there immediately, but they still do not know. Like, they don't know Andy's past. Like, they haven't told them. They just know something's happened. So 2 people at the crime scene, they tell officers, they said, we live in the apartment directly across the street where this has happened to Andy and to this girl. And somebody broke into our apartment, say, I guess the night before, not that long ago, around the same time of Andy's death, which was about 7 a.m. that morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they said a laptop was stolen and Sonos speakers. No speakers. We have a bunch of those.
I know. Justin, freaked. I took his Sonos.
I know. He was. Sonos, to be used, which I do know this, that you have to register an email address. Mm-hmm. You can't use them. Like, you've got to hook your phone up to it. You registered an email address. You've got an account. So they contact Sonos, and they said, if anyone contacts you guys, and if they try to change the email address mm-hmm. on here, let us know, you know, contact us. Andy's parents arrive and they finally found out that she's really gone. They said that her mom wants to see her and they were like, no. And they said, we can't do that. You can't see her until after the autopsy is done. So two of Andy's friends call her parents in the meantime and said that her dog is at the vet still and the parents need to go there. They want to go there and see the dog. So they get to the vet and the doctor says that the dog is suffering. Yeah. So they decide, this is so sad. They said that they're going to put the dog down because they wanted Shay Pan to be with Andy. Because at this time, I know, it's so sad. It's just awful.
I know. It's a lot.
And so her mother realizes that if the dog looks this bad, she can't imagine how Andy looks. So she changes her mind about seeing Andy, which I think is a smart decision. So the autopsy comes back. Andy has been stabbed. This is so bad.
19. I was wondering if she was dead before. Like, who would let them, like, put a burning trash can on their bed if they weren't, like...
Exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's okay. She had been stabbed 19 times.
Jesus.
Yes. No smoke in her airways. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that means that she was dead before the fire.
They
she
had to cover it up.
Yes, they were. She had a sports bra on and nothing else. And, okay, so... In the meantime, no one knows who did this. Obviously, I don't know because of the fire. I don't know if they ever... even really say that Andy was sexually assaulted, but that is definitely seems it's that way. And that's another reason.
I mean, she didn't have any pants on, but I guess people sometimes sleep that way. But
they do. But I think that obviously they think that trying to cover up.
What would the other motivation be if she didn't have, if it wasn't like somebody angry?
Yeah.
Like somebody. Like yeah, sexually motivated.
Yeah. And obviously they set the fire to cover up mm-hmm. any kind of DNA. Because if a male had sexually assaulted her, he's going to leave DNA.
Right.
And, I mean, you burn in it, you burn a lot of the DNA. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that's why they didn't have DNA. Probably because they set the bed mm-hmm. on fire. So, it worked. So, in the meantime, like I said, this doesn't take super long for them to put everything together. But in the meantime, they have no idea who did this to her. And so, Andy had actually gotten arrested 3 months before. And she got caught with Adderall and MDMA. And maybe something else. But people were like online were calling her a drug dealer and saying that's why she was killed. And
oh, gosh, all college kids have a role. It's not theirs. And well, MDMA.
That's what one of her friends said. She was like,
it didn't get caught.
Yeah. She was like, you couldn't find a college student without Adderall. And apparently, like maybe she had sold it to a couple friends. And that's why they were calling her a drug dealer. But I mean,
somebody probably sold to her to have a prescription.
So, exactly. But. That's probably. And then they were like, oh, I could get you a couple pills because everybody's a college student. They're partying and they're trying to stay up. So they're all on Adderall, probably.
Or stay up to study or whatever.
Yeah. That was sad because all this is going on. Like, she deserved it and things like that. I mean, people just say.
Internet trolls.
Yes. They say the shittiest things behind a computer. They're still, you know, clueless. They do not know what happened. But remember those Sonos speakers? Someone does try to register them in their name.
Dumb.
Yeah, exactly. So they track this guy down and they drive to his house. And this is in Fresno, California. It was a little ways away from the UCLA area. Mm-hmm. They said that this guy does seem nervous when they get there. And they ask him how he got the speakers. And he tells them that he borrowed them from his roommate, Albert Medina.
Okay.
All right. Albert has no criminal record. He was a 22-year-old college student attending Fresno State University. And Albert is the roommate that they're talking to. He's trying to register the Sonos. So Medina's roommate tells investigators Medina was visiting a friend at UCLA at the exact same time that Andy was murdered.
In his red car with the lamp letters on it. They don't call me a sleuth for nothing, man.
No, they don't. And I'll get to that. But yes, these dots start to connect, right? So, well, Medina, they go to him and he says he went and stayed with his friend, Eric, that weekend, who was a student at UCLA. And he tells them that they went out partying, I guess, or they went to some apartments after looking for other parties. And he said they did take some stuff from some guys' apartments because they were jerks and that he was drunk. He does admit that they took a laptop and Sonos speakers. And then it just happened to be right across the street from Andy's apartment. Some say that's a coincidence, but I don't think it is. And then he says that his friend Eric Marquez met a girl named Andy and then he was having sex with her. And then he hit her, and then he, like, ran out of the apartment and was like, we got to go, we got to go.
He volunteered this information?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he
good
did.
Job.
Medina did. And he ran out. This is what he says happened, all right? That he hit her, like, basically left it open, and, you know, that we had to leave. We had to run and go. So the police go and question Eric. Okay, that's the UCLA student.
Right.
That is Medina's friend. And he has a different story. He said they went to a couple apartments around there, but they were back home before the murder occurred, which was around 7 a.m. These are not professional criminals. I mean, they don't have a criminal record. They're college students.
Yeah.
Both of them are, actually. Two different colleges. And they're friends. Police find security footage from Eric Marquez, I think I'm saying that right, his apartment, the one that goes to UCLA. It's not too far from Andy's apartment. And it shows that two guys left the UCLA apartment, which was Eric's, at 4 a.m. And then they return at 7.06 a.m. Which was a
big fat lie.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So this guy, Eric, is lying. Mm-hmm. And you think, is he lying to cover his own self or is he lying to help his friend? But then they get more footage. Then the footage shows when they return at 7.06 a.m., guess what Albert or Berto Medina was wearing around him in the apartment footage?
Red blanket.
Yep. A red Snuggie. The red blanket Andy's neighbor saw, mm-hmm. of course, that the guy was wearing, that was on him. So it was.
So they were together?
They were together. Yeah. So the guys were together, which I don't, and I'll get more into it. They're not really sure. I'll explain to where they narrow it down of who it was.
Yeah.
So
that's odd.
Yeah. But they were together because this guy that had the red Snuggie, because it's confusing. They're both, their last names start with an M. The guy that had the red Snuggie, he went to the University
of Fresno State.
Yes. Yes. So he's got the red Snuggie. And I think that his friend Eric was just trying to, like, cover for him. So he knows something. But I don't know how they can find out if he knows for sure what happened. They show Eric the footage.
Okay.
And he said he was drunk and doesn't remember what happened.
That's convenient.
Yeah, that's what the guy said, that they had not left the apartment. You know, now he just changed his story and says, I don't know what happened.
The UCLA student.
The UCLA student said he doesn't know what happens. He was drunk. Like, he sees himself on the footage, but he's like, I don't remember coming back home. I don't remember. So both guys are being held in jail at this time, and they examine them. So Alberto Medina, that's the one that goes to school out of town, he has scratches all over him.
Hmm.
And Eric Marquez, the one that goes to school at UCLA, has no scratches on him, not a mark on him, not anything, you know, on his body. So the police, they go and search Medina's home. They get a search warrant, the one that goes to Fresno, not the one that lives in Westwood. And they go to his house. They get the police warrant, and guess what he drives?
A red car with Lambda Chi Greek letters.
Yes. And guess what else they find? I mean,
Bert,
this was
Bert.
Yeah, they find the red blanket, and they find
they found the red blanket.
He kept it. He kept it in a bag with his tank top that had blood on it and the knife, the actual murder weapon,
at his apartment.
At his apartment. Yes. And in his car, they find Andy's DNA or blood in the car.
Because
I guess he had it all over his shirt and it got into the car. And they also figure out that his fraternity, that he had actually been suspended for misconduct from his fraternity. He doesn't have a criminal record, but he's been suspended from his fraternity.
He was a Lambda Chi. He was a Lambda Chi at Fresno State.
Yes. That's why they couldn't figure out the car locally. But yeah, he literally had a black bag in his closet. With all those things, all that evidence in it. I mean, it almost sounds too good to be true. You know what I mean? Somebody planted the bag, which they didn't. I mean, he's the one with all the scratches. Yeah. He's just not a professional criminal. And he didn't know what to do with the stuff, and he kept it. But he didn't clean his car. I mean, he's just obviously...
But how did he choose her? Like, how did he...
Okay, I'll explain that. So this is what the police think happened that night.
Okay.
All right? They think Eric was involved in the burglary, okay? Not the murder. But they do think that he helped the criminal, Medina. The police do think that Eric helped him get away with, they're trying to help him get away with this murder, regardless if he was in the room with her. But they think that Medina saw her on her balcony that night. Like, maybe they were robbing the apartment next door. They saw her and they were drunk. And I definitely think it wasn't necessarily to rob her. It was to assault her. It was sexually motivated. And I do not think Eric went in there. I really don't. Only because he didn't have scratches on him. He didn't have anything. And I mean, we could be wrong, but the police are convinced.
If he did go in, he didn't have any physical contact with her.
Probably. And the roommate, her neighbor, only saw one man running out.
But how'd he get in there?
The balcony.
Oh.
The balcony doors, I think, that they unlock. Because at the end of the documentary, her mom says, if you think that you're safe and you don't need to lock your doors, lock your doors.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that her balcony door was unlocked. People don't lock their balcony door because they just think that
it's high up.
Yeah. And so,
not me. I watch too much true crime.
Oh no, for sure. And that's exactly what they think happened. That Eric was involved with burglaries, but not the murder. So he got 2 years in prison.
Okay.
And Albert Medina, they figured out he had no connection to Andy. He didn't know her. It wasn't a guy she was hooking up with and it went wrong or whatever. It was definitely more premeditated.
Something's seriously wrong with somebody who just randomly picks somebody, assaults them, and stabs them 19 times. I mean, Bert's got some serious demon.
Oh, they said that, like
it wasn't enough.
Did you say a serious demon?
Burned her.
Yeah. You said Bert? What'd you say?
I just decided
to cut it out. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's funny.
I just. But, because now Birdo is a mouthful, so I just figure out.
And the crime's not funny, but you're funny. So they just think he saw her in the balcony. And he probably told Eric, stay here or stay in the car. They think he was in the car. That's how he probably got in the car and the car got away so fast for where the girl couldn't, the neighbor couldn't catch him, which I can't believe she ran after him. I'm like, go girl. She said she just wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
Sarah said, yes, he said she did. But that also, I mean, that and the Sonos speakers is what got them caught. But that was definitely made it. I mean, the Sonos speakers, they could have said, though, we sold them to somebody or we gave them to somebody.
Yeah.
So that was the girl seeing the car. She definitely, I mean, because of course she beats herself up. Like, why didn't I go down there banging on the door? But she's really the one
she
that
could put herself in. I mean, she didn't know what's happening in there. Couldn't have. But then, on the other hand, she did chase after somebody that had just set an apartment on fire. But I mean,
and that's what I'm saying. I think she thought, I have to do something. And she did do something. She is definitely the link that
she did way more than most people would do.
Yeah. Probably. And she was the one that saw the car and saw the fraternity letters on it. And then they found the guy with the car.
Now that they probably would.
It could have been circumstantial because there was no there was no DNA left behind because he burned it all.
Yeah. There could have been no way to link any of them except for the Sonos speakers. But I mean.
Yeah, but even that, like we said, you could have
explained that away easily.
Yeah, you could have just said, oh, I let somebody have them or I sold them to a friend. It's just, oh, and they said that Medina had told somebody that he was like, I bet I know what happened to that girl. He said, I think that she was trying to fight somebody off that was trying to rape her. That's what he said to somebody.
Oh.
Yeah. And they said
the tip.
He was actually talking about himself.
Yeah.
And that was, like, so creepy. So 3 years after Andy had been murdered, he was found guilty of the murder of Andrea Del Vesco, theft, and animal cruelty. Mm-hmm. They said at the hearing that he showed no emotion or remorse at his sentence.
Yeah, something's wrong with him.
Gosh, for real. I can't believe he didn't have a criminal record. He probably had monitored by parents, and then he gets out of high school, goes to college, he's on his own.
Little things that he did throughout his life that just didn't really send up too many red flags, and then it just...
19 times. I mean, that is, like you said, that was what they would call a crime of passion usually. It's not
an overkill.
An overkill. Yeah. That's why they kind of thought she did know the person, but they just couldn't figure out anybody that I think that she was linked to, but I think that he just wanted to make sure she didn't live so that he could get away with it. And that's why he wanted to make sure she was really dead. And then he sets the fire. I mean, that did work. I mean, setting the fire and destroying the DNA evidence.
I mean, his friend. Eric, what was I saying? Eric, what's up? Dude, what's happening?
And I think that's why they couldn't. Yeah, that's why it took a little teeny bit of a time. The actual killer didn't live there. So he thought, oh, well, I don't live here. I can come into town to UCLA and do something. I can go hang out in this college town and do some horrible crime. I can burglarize people. Eric, you help me do it. But I think Eric was like, he stopped
That's
it.
A little too much. Yeah. You need to dial it down a little.
Well, he had to have known, though, that he was breaking into a girl's apartment.
Well, they just broke into one across the street. He didn't know he's going in there to rape her and stab her 19 times instead of bed him. Yeah. And then probably when he saw it, he's like, oh.
Because then you are also thinking, I could be in trouble for this. Mm-hmm. I could be in trouble because I drug. Well, he did. He got 2 years. But the fact that he only got 2 years, you're stuck. And he's, okay, I drug the getaway car. But he probably didn't know what he was driving the getaway car.
Yeah, he was drunk, sitting in a car, waiting for your friend to go rob an apartment. And then he jumps in
with blood all over.
And blood. Go, go, go. Oh, shit. Gotta go.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so depressing and sad. But
it is sad. It really is. Got caught.
I know. And
good police work.
Definitely. And good Sarah work.
Yeah, really. No kid.
That's just so sad. And there's people that are starting on their whole life. You send your kid off to college and.
Oh, this one's about to go.
I know. We don't need to. It's a little depressing, but it did happen. And And bad things happen. And like her mom said, lock your door. I mean, everybody's guilty of that. You feel safe and you're thinking. And that's why I think he got in through the balcony. Because it wasn't like it showed a picture of the apartment.
And it makes sense that he probably saw her on the balcony and thought, I bet she didn't lock the balcony door.
Absolutely. Because he saw her probably go back in and just was thinking. She didn't lock it. They showed a picture of the apartment complex, and it was so weird. It was like a small apartment complex, but it actually looked really similar to the Idaho murder house that they keep showing on every news report. Because you know how it had balconies and sliding doors.
I lived on the third floor of an apartment with a balcony, and I locked it and had one of those Billy Bar things that came down. And
you did?
Yeah.
That's because you've always watched
ID Channel. I'm not messing around. No.
You know, definitely tip for anybody that has sliding doors.
Even where I live now, I don't have one of those, but Randy cut like a broom handle or something like in half and fit it so it just fits right inside there. So you can't.
Yeah, that door is not opening.
Open. It's not opening. You're going to have to break it down. By then, I'll have a batten.
Yeah. Or pepper spray or something.
Anything, yeah. Yes.
Thanks for listening to episode 32. And Leanne, we are glad to have you back.
Yay, glad to be back.
And next time, Leanne's going to tell a story.
Yes, I'm excited to be back telling a story again.
And go like, subscribe. Please follow us on Instagram. Our page is
sad.
Yeah, it's 160 followers. They were all like organic. I was telling Leanne, I was like, not really promoted anything. I guess I could do that.
Share.
Share. Please tell your friends about us. And thanks for listening.
We'll be back next week.